I hope you had a Merry Christmas and are looking forward to a great new year. I had the opportunity to preach the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's for the first time about 15 years ago. And I had just heard a message about how to make wise choices that was so inspiring to me that I got excited to share it with our church all those years ago. Well, I preached the message, and it went fine, and a friend who's about 15 years older than me, a man who has become a mentor to me since then, came up to me after the service, and he said, "Eric, that was a good message. It was very helpful." He said, "We're also doing that same study in our community group right now, and I'd encourage you, Eric, that in the future, if you're going to use someone else's material, you should probably let someone know." He was gracious to me and didn't point out the irony of the fact that the message was about wise choices, but I am so glad that I learned 15 years ago that if you're going to use someone else's material, it's a good idea to let people know. Well, for the past 15 years, I have enjoyed talking about the subject of making wise choices and the potential that that decision has to make in your life. And so today, I want to share with you what is often called the best question ever. And the best question ever is not the question, is something right or wrong? We tend to think about the question as something right or wrong when we're making a decision, but there's actually a much better question. Because as soon as you or I start thinking about is something right or is something wrong, we immediately begin looking for loopholes. And once we start looking for loopholes, human beings have an infinite ability to find a loophole. So instead of asking, is this right or wrong? I want to ask you this year, in come 2020, to ask this question. What is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? And what is the wise thing to do is a better question than the question, is this right or wrong? Because if we're asking right or wrong, we go loopholes. And I know this might be new for some of you, but we want to move away from this question and in 2020 instead ask the question, what is the wise thing to do? Now, when you and I are asking the question, what is the wise thing to do, we need to think about this, and this is how I learned it and how I want to ask you to pass it on. We want to think about asking what is the wise thing to do in light of a few different scenarios. And I got to just warn you up front. When you begin asking the question, what is the wise thing to do, you are going to bump up against something inside of you, and it's inside of me, it's inside of all of us, that wants things to be fair. But wisdom is better than fairness, because fair can lead you to all sorts of really horrible decisions. Fair can lead you to horrible decisions. We want to instead ask, what is the wise thing to do in light of these three realities? And here are the three realities we all have to face. We all have to face our past experience, our present reality, and our future hopes and dreams. Our past experience, our present reality, and our future hopes and dreams. Now, let's talk about each of these, and each of these pushes against fairness in some way. The wise thing to do, when you ask that question, you have to ask it in light of your past. What has happened to you before now that will impact the decision you make right now? So here's an easy example. If you are in recovery right now, it is probably not wise, in light of your past experience, let's just say in recovery for alcohol, just take that as an example. If you're in recovery for alcohol, in light of your past experience, having a drink on New Year's Eve is not a wise choice. Now, it might be a wise choice for many, many, many people, because their past doesn't struggle with alcohol-related issues. But if yours does, it's not wise to drink on New Year's Eve. Make the wise choice. In light of your past experience with relationships, if you have struggled in a certain kind of relationship, or if you have found yourself making a bad choice over and over and over again, in light of your past, what is the wise thing to do today? The next way we ask this question is in light of our present reality. In light of our present reality. The way to think about your present reality, and this will help you, is to think we're not talking about forever, we're just talking about for now. For now, what is the wise thing to do? And this is where we want to push against fair, because we look at someone else and we think, well, she gets to, he got to, why can't I? The reason is that what's wise for you might be different than what's wise for your friends, because you have a different present reality. Here's an easy example. There is nothing wrong with playing softball. There's nothing wrong with playing softball. There's nothing wrong with playing softball two or three nights a week. But if you recently had a new baby come into your family, and let's just say you're a man and you're a married guy and you and your wife welcomed your new baby into your family 2 months ago and softball starts in February and your buddies want you to play, let me tell you, in light of your present reality, playing softball two or three nights a week when you have a newborn at home is, I'm just going to help you here, is not a wise choice. Is it wrong? It's not a moral issue. It's not wise in light of your present reality. And then the third way we ask the question, what's the wise thing to do, is in light of our future hopes and dreams. This is the one that's most compelling for me. This is the one I'd invite you to lean into. This is where you get to write the story you want to tell someday. When we ask what's wise in light of our future hopes and dreams, we ask the question, when it's all said and done, what story do I want to tell? What legacy do I want to leave? And when we think about the legacy we want to leave, it can help us to make a wise choice in the present. Now, past experience, present reality, future hopes and dreams. You might have heard that before, you might get that. Here's the next level we want to go to, and I don't mean to offend anyone, but this is just true for all of us. It's true about you, it's true about me. We are not all equally wise in every arena of life. None of us are equally wise in every arena of life. That means in my life, there are parts of my life where I'm going to struggle to walk in wisdom more than others. And there are going to be parts of my life where I just more naturally make a wise choice in light of my past, present, and future. And so one of the things we have to do is figure out for ourselves, where am I tempted to make an unwise choice? And one of the ways we can figure out where we might not make a wise choice is to think about these three different seats that we all sit in from time to time. We all sit in each of these three chairs at different seasons in our life. So I want to tell you about this first chair right here. This first chair is the clueless. The first chair is the clueless, and we could call this the naive person. Now, we have all been naive. When you're naive, it's not your fault. It just means you don't have much experience. When you're naive, you're just new at something. So let's think about what's naive. When a college student goes away from home for the first time, they are inundated with credit card applications. Do you know why credit card companies send credit card applications to freshmen in college? Because they're naive and they don't know that the potential of credit card debt can set them back financially for years and years and years to come. They just don't know any better. We've all been naive. When you're a new parent, you're naive about the amount of sleep you're going to get. That's one of the things that helps you have a baby, is you don't know how bad it's going to be for the first few months. You're naive. It's not your fault. This is why, by a percentage, more high school kids smoke than adults. Because as you grow as an adult, you recognize that you have friends that you love that are struggling with lung cancer and other things that are putting pressure on their lives that they would rather avoid. Now, let me ask you, in your life, where might you be naive? What do you do when you're naive? I'll tell you about a scenario where I was naive, and I'll tell you how I have learned to handle it. This past fall, we decided to do a little updating in our house, and that involved some painting. And when we did the painting, there were a few electrical outlets that needed to be swapped out because we'd previously painted over them, and they were sort of ratty and grungy, so they had to be replaced. Well, my wife believes in me even more than I believe in myself. And she went to Home Depot and she bought electrical outlets and she brought them home and she said to me, "Eric, I believe that you can swap out these electrical outlets." Now, she's naive in saying that, and I'm naive about electricity. But fortunately, I made a wise choice. I called a friend who was an electrician and he said, "Eric, before you do anything, you need to figure out what circuit breaker that outlet is on, and you need to turn the circuit breaker off." Now, I am standing here today so I can tell you that though I was clueless about electricity, I was willing to listen to my electrician friend, and he walked me through it, and with his help and YouTube, I swapped out these outlets, and here was the key. Here was the key. The naive obey even when you don't understand why. The naive obey even when you don't understand why. We're tempted when we're naive to not listen to advice that we don't understand. But if you find yourself in an arena of life that's new to you, it could be that you're newly retired. It could be that you've worked your whole life and you find yourself at retirement now and you're not sure how to fill your days. And so you go to someone who's been retired 5 or 10 years and you ask them what they would recommend. And they begin to give you advice and you look at their life and they're living the kind of life you want to live. And you don't understand exactly why, but you do what they say because you recognize that you don't know any better. If you're an elementary school student, a middle school student, you're naive about a lot of life. Your job is to obey your parents. And the reason your job is to obey your parents, even when you don't understand why, is that they're not naive about life. They have some life experience. So it's not your fault, but will you obey even when you don't understand why? That's the naive chair. Here's the second chair. The second chair here is the chair of the fool. It's the chair of the fool. And while the naive person was clueless, the fool takes the attitude that they could care less. They could care less. They know it's going to hurt them, but they do it anyway. They know that some harm might come. They might have even had a bad experience in the past, but they make the same choice again and again without regarding the consequences. And here's the problem with the fool. And actually, this is the only thing I can think of to say that if you are acting a fool in some area of your life, it might get you to listen. The problem with the fool is that they don't just go down themselves, they take others with them. The fool hurts themselves and their friends. Proverbs says this about the fool. Proverbs says, "If you walk with the wise, you will grow wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." If you're a fool, you will hurt in your own life and you will bring down the people around you. The most benign example of this that we've all experienced is the kid who is buddies with a fool in class. You're a middle school student, and you know how to like sort of pay attention, but you're buddies with a bunch of fools. And what happens is you get in trouble, and you go home, and you say, "Mom, I wasn't even doing anything wrong. It was Johnny. Johnny was doing something wrong, not me." And your mom is gracious, and she probably doesn't do this, but she could bring you to Proverbs 13:20, and she could say, "Honey, Proverbs says a companion of fools suffers harm. So be wary of being around a fool. And if you are a fool, would you consider asking what is the wise thing to do so that you don't bring down the people you love?" But here's what happens most of the time. Here's the way a fool turns around. The fool turns to God when they hit bottom. The fool turns to God when they hit bottom. When things get bad enough, the fool will turn to God. And you know what? If you're acting a fool in any area of your life right now, my hope and my prayer for you in 2020 is that you hit the bottom as soon as possible. Because if it's only at the bottom that you're going to look up and find the gracious wisdom of God, the forgiveness, the potential that God wants to offer you in Jesus, if that's what it's going to take, I pray you hit bottom sooner than later, because at least you'll turn towards God. There's the naive person, there's the fool. The third chair is the most sad of the three. The third chair is the mocker. And the mocker is reckless. The mocker is reckless. While the fool knew better and made the choice anyway, the mocker knows better and scorns you. The mocker knows better and he still wants to bring you down. The mocker knows better and she thumbs her nose at wisdom again and again and again and again. And actually the proverb says that there's nothing you can do with the mocker. And if you have someone in your life that you have tried to coach and counsel and walk with, and they just keep making the same decision, they keep bringing you down with them, it very well may be that they've reached the point where you need to say, "I'm going to leave you to your own devices, and I'm going to pray for you that one day you will begin to walk in wisdom. But until then, I'm not going to let you hurt me or the people we love." Are you naive? Are you a fool? Are you a mocker? Well, if you're a mocker, you stopped listening to me a while ago, actually. You never even started listening, so I'm not going to spend much time with the mocker. Here's what I want to do. I want to ask us if it's true that we're not all equally wise in every arena of life, would you be willing to evaluate some areas of your life in 2020? And here's the question. How do you need to walk in wisdom in 2020? And I'd like you to do this, and you can do this on your own, and we're wrapping up. Four big areas of life: money, relationships, faith, self-care. Put them in order. Put them in order for you. Where do you walk in wisdom most often? Second, third, and fourth. We all have one that is easiest for us, and we all have one we struggle with the best or struggle with the most. If you were to put these in order, and you can, you know, pause this, and you can just, you know, grab your phone, a piece of paper, whatever, put them in order. The one that's at the bottom, whichever one is at the bottom for you, let me ask you, what would it take for you to walk in wisdom in the new year? What would it take for you to walk in wisdom in the new year in the area that you are weakest in? And take the one that you struggle with the most and ask the question. Ask the question. In light of my past experience, in light of my present reality, in light of my future hopes and dreams, what will it look like for me to walk in wisdom in an area of my life where I may be tempted to be naive or foolish or, heaven forbid, even a mocker? That's the question I would love for you to ask in 2020. I'd also like you to consider this, if you'll give me 60 more seconds. We are starting a brand new sermon series next week on January 5th. On January 5th, we're starting a brand new sermon series. It's called Allowed to Ask, where we are going to ask some of the toughest questions that people ask of the faith. We're going to ask questions like, if God is so good, why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? In light of the church's history of being complicit in racial injustice, why should we trust the church? Why are Christians so, you fill in the blank, judgmental, hypocritical, sexist, whatever it is? Can I trust God and science, or do I have to choose? We're going to ask all of these questions, and we wanted to create an environment where you are allowed to ask. So this isn't just a series for those of us who already attend Grace. This is going to be a fantastic series to invite a friend who might not attend church anywhere. So I hope that you have a great new year, and I look forward to seeing you January 5th for our brand new sermon series, Allowed to Ask. Happy New Year.